Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of Hebrews chapter 12, we were taught that keeping all the law will not save anybody. The law was given that man would see his need of a Savior. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Verse 20 of Romans 3 goes on. He says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." In other words, the law will show we are not worthy. For the law gives knowledge that we're sinners. Well, the law is holy. And just compared to this law God gave, it showed us how sinful we are in and of ourselves. But the law is put there that we might seek a Savior. That Savior that was promised to Eve back in Genesis chapter 3 when she was told her seed. Isn't it interesting? The seed comes from normally a man, but Jesus didn't have a human father. The seed was of God. We go on Romans 3:21, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. The only," I emphasize only, "the only righteousness that allows one into the presence of God and to escape from the eternal lake of fire is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that righteousness is appropriated to us by faith when we desire and we call upon Him to save us from our sin." Now, my friend, we have all sinned. And that's what Romans 3:23, the next verse says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All. That's not a predestined group have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. No one is exempt. All have sinned. And that's why in Romans 6:23, read, "For the wages, what we have earned, what every one of us have coming to us, the wages of sin is death, final, complete separation from God forever in that lake of fire, where one does not cease to exist, where one will never escape." He says, "being justified freely," we didn't earn it, verse 24, "being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." You know what that's telling us? Justification comes by the grace of God through the redemption, that is, through the cross, that was purchased for us by the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, you don't get to heaven by being a good Muslim. You don't get to heaven by being a good Mormon. You don't get to heaven by being a good Baptist. You don't get to heaven by being a good Catholic. You don't get to heaven by being a good anything else. The only way to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ and Christ alone. You try any other way, my friend, I can tell you on the authority of God's word that hell is your destiny. And you die that way, then, my friend, you're going to break hell wide open. I mean, you'll be going full speed right into it. When Moses heard the law and saw our holy God's glory, I believe that he fully expected to die right there on the spot. I think of Dr. Lee Robertson, who is now with the Lord. I heard him preach in his prime. This man had the voice, the quality of a pipe organ. It was a powerful voice. Now, the college, which at that time was a fundamental college, true to the word, I wish I could still say the same for today. But at that time, it's a college strong and true to the word. The college had built some new dorms, and someone had emptied a fire extinguisher on the floor while playing pranks on one another. Now, no one fessed up to doing it. So the next day in chapel, there's about 2,500 students in the auditorium. I'm there. Dr. Robertson's voice got louder, and it seemed like his white hair got a little whiter and his face just got a little more red. You know what? I was shaking in my seat. I was scared to death. I did not live in the dorm. I didn't do it. And I wasn't even on campus when it happened. And I'm telling myself that while he is letting us have it. Yet I was scared and shaken with everyone else in the auditorium. I mean, if 2,500 students, over 2,499, maybe 95, maybe there's 4 or 5 involved, but not any more than that. 2,495 were not guilty. And we were all scared. That man had a power. And yet, that's the kind of power Moses had, but when Moses approached to the mount, he did exceedingly fear and quake. And I think of the power in the voice of God as he speaks. Listen as I read Psalm 29, verses 3 through 9. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Sirion like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Oh, this is the voice of God. Pray that we would know the voice of God, especially as that voice speaks and tries to speak to our heart. Now that takes us to a contrast, as we see Mount Zion in verses 22 through 24. But you're coming to Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. He says, but ye are coming to, in verse 22, in contrast to the frightening scene at Sinai. Now we're getting a wonderful glimpse of the heavenly Zion that's been given to these Hebrew Christians. This is referring to that city whose builder and maker is God, as we saw in Hebrews 11, verse 10. In the law, distance from that fearful place is imperative. But in the new covenant, it closes the gap, so there is no distance. And so he said in verse 23, to the general assembly. The general assembly is defined as a solemn assembly for the purpose of festal rejoicing. Isn't that so much the opposite of Mount Sinai, where they were quaking and shaking in their sandals? Oh, what a difference this mount is, Mount Zion. As old Dr. McGee used to say, I can't tell you the street name or the number, but I have a future address in that city. And I'm sure that these men that looked for that city whose builder and maker was God knew the same thing. Mount Sinai convinces us we are sinners in danger of death. As we read in Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death. Mount Zion speaks of a Savior who saves us from our sin and its penalty. The second half of Romans 6:23. But the gift, not what we earn, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This city has an innumerable company of angels. One third of the angels fell with Satan. Yet there is still an innumerable company of angels in heaven. Think of that. On earth, Mount Zion was a vital part of Jerusalem's defense. The mount speaks of security. This future city is the city of the living God. He and He alone is our security. But in addition to that, there is an innumerable company of angels. Now think of what that means. When you read the Old Testament scriptures, we remember that one angel killed over 185,000 of the well-trained Assyrian army in one night. And so I'm glad that Jesus made the promise, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. I was sitting in a college class one day, and a teacher said, now don't ever sing Mansion Over the Hilltop, because a mansion was simply a room that was built onto a house. And it's not a mansion like you think of a palace that's in your minds today. So I wouldn't even think of doing that. Well, when I think of that city, it has 12 foundations of 12 different jeweled stones, gates of solid pearl. The streets and the walls of it are of solid gold that's so pure that it's like transparent glass. And Jesus Christ is the light of that city. And being the light of that city, He is seven times brighter than the sun. And boy, just think of all the colors that are reflected through the prism of that city. And the size of that city is equal the distance in height, in depth, and in width. And that height, depth, and width would be equal each way to the distance it would be from Denver, Colorado to the Atlantic Ocean. That's a big house. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org. With no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.